This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
It's DFS Week 8. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the DFS Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and our guest today is from Draft Sharks. We got him out of the ocean long enough to talk DFS with us. He's the one, the only, Jared Smola. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at SmolaDS. Jared, it is so nice to have you on the show to talk a little fantasy football DFS style for Week 8. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Week 8, glad to be on it. It's a slate I'm excited about. I feel like this might be my week. I'm feeling good about a lot of teams in a lot of spots here, so let's do it.
Yes, we only got two teams on bye, just Vegas and Baltimore. We've got the Giants in Kansas City. We don't have to worry about the Dallas-Minnesota game, which I'd love to be involved in. I'm not one to play the isolated games, but my goodness, that seems like a fun one to play. But we don't have to worry about that on the main slate. We'll touch on that maybe a little bit later on and get your thoughts on that. But we're going to go through that main slate. But yeah, it's an interesting grouping. I think a lot of haves and have-nots. It seems very clear-cut, but then again, every time it seems clear-cut, Jared does it always seem to go. There's always those weird, quirky things that happen in weeks like this that I'm a little afraid of.
And that's what makes DFS fun, right? Especially when you're getting into tournaments. You got to sort of think outside the box, get a little creative, know that things aren't going to go exactly how they should go on paper. That's kind of how you win these tournaments.
Yeah, well, we'll see if we can give you a couple fun oppo plays or a couple things to look for like we did last week and just keep on trucking along. Before we get into it, I want to remind everybody to check out the Betting Pros Podcast, a Week 8 Best Show with Dan Harris. He hosts that. It comes out the same exact day as we do on Thursdays for DFS. Not to mention, Bogman and I just did our college football for Week 9. That was released late last night because I never stop working. So you got that out there. And Dan also hosts the NFL Betting Line Show every Tuesday. And you can find all these Betting Pros podcasts at bettingpros.com/podcasts. And you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and listen to them there. And don't forget about the Daily Juice too at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. That's our own Matt Perrault giving you every single day some betting advice. It doesn't matter what it is, NFL, college football, MLB, NHL. The dude does it all. I don't know how he does it. He's amazing. The Daily Juice podcast also available on the major podcast platforms. Again, you can check it out at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. So let's kick things off here, Jared. Let's talk about the cash game guys, the high price guys, the guys that are worthy of big investments. Let's start with the running back position. Give me the dude you think this week is a really good return on investment despite the high price salary.
Yeah, I'm going back to Daryl Henderson, who I know was super popular last week in that great spot at home for the Lions. Somehow busted. I'm still not even sure how. Like, the usage was there. He got 15 carries and 6 targets, played 88% of the snaps. That's kind of where he's been, like, when he's been healthy. He is a clear feature back for this awesome Rams offense. In another great spot here on the road, but he gets Houston. You know, the Rams are 14.5-point favorites in this game, 31-point implied total. So all the ingredients are there. I'm not going to be scared off by the dud last week. I'm going to go right back to Henderson.
Yeah, and I don't see why not. I mean, Henderson's been very strong. Also, are you thinking like kind of the game script here of them having this lead and sitting on it and a little bit more running of the football, especially considering Sony Michel's done really next to nothing these last few weeks.
Yeah, it should be, right? I mean, we kind of expected that last week. The Lions made that a much closer game. But
they sure did.
I think the Lions are even like a tier above Houston as far as an NFL team. The Lions have been playing some.
The Lions are a tier above the Jets, a tier above Houston. Like, I think we got to put a little bit. I mean, I know they haven't won a game, but they do compete, Jared.
Yeah, they do. Exactly.
All right. For me, it's Jonathan Taylor this week. I keep talking about the schedule he's got coming up. And I know Tennessee nearly pitched a shutout against the Chiefs, but the Chiefs have their own issues and their own things going on. I think that the Colts offense is starting to find itself a little bit, even in the bomb cyclone and all the crazy things. The Indianapolis Colts still able to move the football relatively well. Carson Wentz, I think, is playing much better, starting to settle in after a rough start to the season because of a lack of preseason. I really want to chalk it up to that. The injuries, also missing time with those guys. But Taylor is very steady right now. Taylor, to me, is that one of the few bell cow backs out there. Robinson was really close in this conversation for me, too. That's another one that I really like this matchup, coming off the extra rest there with the bye. So both of those guys I would put in that conversation, both pretty expensive. But I think both pretty good investments. So let's switch over to wide receiver. Who's the big time wide receiver you want to go with this week?
I'm going to Chris Godwin, who I used last week. His price is only up a little bit from last week, but we have no Antonio Brown. Godwin is basically priced as if Antonio Brown is playing this week. He's not. Godwin has 7 and 11 targets in the two games that Brown has missed this season. I like him even more this week because Marshawn Lattimore has given Mike Evans trouble throughout, their meetings. You look over the last five meetings, Evans hasn't done much in this matchup. So I think that's just going to push more action Chris Godwin's way. I think he's a great volume bet for his price tag this week.
It's a great point because the Lattimore thing has been real, and so much maybe people will go to Evans because last week Evans had such a big game because Antonio Brown was out, which we all knew was a good chance that was going to happen. No Gronk, no AB. It was a good chance Evans was going to get at least one touchdown in that game. But now people kind of will forget that, oh, wait, the Saints have played Tampa Bay, especially the Tom Brady Bucks, pretty tight in some of those games. They get up for those games. It is a bit of a rivalry. No Drew Brees anymore, but still, it's definitely one of those games that's a little bit more contested. But I like that call with Godwin quite a bit. I think it's a really nice pivot off of Mike Evans. For me, it's Ja'Marr Chase. Sometimes, Jared, sometimes it's just the easy thing is the right thing. And we've been talking about Cooper Kupp every week. He's been up here at the top of this list, and now he's getting to that price. And I knew it was going to happen after last week, too. I was like, this is it. This is the last time we can have nice things. Next thing you know, he's going to be Devontae Adams' price. And sure enough, he is now everywhere, and rightfully so. The dude's earned it. But Ja'Marr Chase is still a notch below against the Jets. I mean, I am hard-pressed to find a situation where he does not have one big touchdown catch, if not several catches, if not potentially multiple. I'm okay with this investment. Sometimes the easy answer is the right one. How do you feel about this Cincinnati Jets game? Do you think it's going to be the embarrassment that I think it is?
Yeah, it should be. The only concern is does Burrow only throw it 25 times because they're up by 3 touchdowns at half? But even in that case, Chase should do his damage. It shouldn't take a ton of volume for him to, break off a couple of big plays against that Jets secondary.
Yeah, but there's part of me that feels like Joe Burrow wouldn't mind kind of just having some fun out there and slinging the ball around a little bit more, because I feel like after last week you beat Baltimore, that was a huge victory. I feel like Joe Burrow kind of wants to keep making a statement. You're right. I worry. That's why I worry about Mixon in this game a little bit. And I know everybody loves Mixon this week, but that's the dude that I'm more concerned with even than Burrow. And spoiler alert, we'll touch on it here real quick too. Burrow happens to be my quarterback this week, so we'll just stick with Cincinnati. But I like Burrow so much because I also worry that maybe in the fourth quarter you do get more P. Ryan and Chris Evans and those guys to not unnecessarily push Joe Mixon because of his history with his health, that actually is more scary to me, the Joe Mixon side, than the Joe Burrow side.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it last week, right? P. Ryan played most of the fourth quarter. Mixon's role in the passing game, not to get too much on Joe Mixon, but his role in the passing game has been disappointing too. So I'm not super, super in on Mixon this week at his price. The other point on the Bengals, they've been leaning more pass the past few weeks now. They opened the season super run heavy, I think, with Burrow coming off, that major knee injury, but they are starting to lean more and more towards the pass. I kind of expect that to continue.
All right, so Joe Burrow's my QB this week and I'll tell you what, I got him in tournaments and in cash game because I like the matchup, baby. Let's go. Who do you have at quarterback this week that you want to spend up for?
Yeah, Jalen Hurts for me. 21 plus DraftKings points in every game this season. He's the only quarterback that's done that. You know, Mahomes had it before last week's done, but it's tough for Hurts to fail with his type of rushing production. He might even do more on the ground with Miles Sanders out this week. And of course, you know, he has the Lions matchup. So that's in his favor as well.
Is there any concern with all these losses mounting up for the Eagles that if things don't go well, this is the first week Gardner Minshew is going to be activated, right? Is there any concern there that if you're losing to the Lions at half, we could chuckle, but I mean, they're racking up losses at an alarming rate. And although Jalen Hurts is putting up fantasy points, the Eagles keep putting up L's. Is there any concern there of him getting pulled from this game and you don't get the full investment out of him this week? Is there any hesitation whatsoever with you?
I'm not concerned yet. I think it's too early in the season. I do think Hurts is a sell in season long.
Okay.
Because I do think there's a decent chance we see Minshew get some starts at the end of the season, just so Philly sees what they have in him. But I'm not worried about Hurts getting pulled from this game. And if he struggles that badly against the Lions, you know, there's bigger issues anyways than him getting pulled.
We had this conversation, Jared, yesterday on the podcast, I think it was, where we talked about in recent memory, it was hard to remember a quarterback who's been so fantasy productive that is so in danger of losing his job. And the only one I could think of in recent memory was Jameis Winston throwing all those picks. Remember in the year he threw for 5,000 yards, we're looking at each other like, but he's so good. Don't take him out. I know it's ugly, but it's beautiful in terms of fantasy points, but you know, wins and losses, you know, apparently the coaches care about that stuff, whatever. all right, let's go to the last thing here. Tight end. Who are you paying up for at tight end this week, Jared?
It's Dallas Goedert for me. The production wasn't huge in his first game post Zach Ertz trade, you know, 3 catches, 70 yards, 5 targets, but the playing time was up, which is what we wanted to see. He played 93% of the Eagle snaps, ran a pass route on 88% of the dropbacks. Those are elite numbers. I think Goedert is a big time talent. He's finally been unleashed. He has this matchup against the Lions. The Lions are 28th in Football Outsiders tight end coverage DVOA. So the Lions are a good matchup for every position. They're a good matchup for tight ends. I think Goedert is still underpriced for the new role that he has.
All right. I'm going to go with my dude, Kyle Pitts. If I'm going to pay up, I want to pay up for the big boy, the big dog. Back-to-back 100-yard games starting to come together for Kyle Pitts. Now, granted, the Jets and the Dolphins are the Jets and the Dolphins. And defensively, neither of those teams are super exciting. However, coming off a bye, a little bit more time, a lot more confidence. To me, this is starting to feel like Kyle Pitts is happening. And it's still a good price. Like, there's a chance that this is the last time we see him with a 6 in front of his name on FanDuel in quite some time. Like, I just think that's very possible if he has another big game. Carolina's scuffling a little bit. Defensively, still a good team. But offensively, scuffling a little bit. And I wonder if they give Atlanta more opportunities. And if so, that's good for Pitts. And Pitts has just been tremendous. And it's great to see such a phenomenal talent start to really pop in the league. And I don't know if you want to call him a tight end. I don't know, Jared, what we want to call him, but I just call him special. Well, how about you?
He's playing wide receiver, right? Like he's
right.
Pretty much. So few snaps in line, which is perfect for fantasy. Like you're basically getting a number one wide receiver that you can use in your tight end spot.
Yeah. Very exciting stuff. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Med Care Network, your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, Air Med Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for the entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a gift card for Visa or Amazon with a new membership. AirMedCareNetwork.com/FantasyPros and use that offer code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, Air Med Care Network memberships are the protection you need and you can't live without. Again, that's AirMedCareNetwork.com/FantasyPros. And now, back to the action. All right, let's change gears over here towards the value plays for the week, and we'll start running back. You know what? Once again, I'm just going to keep this simple here. For me, it's Damian Harris this week. Harris is getting the carries. That rest of that backfield is wacky, to say the least. You know, you have Stevenson do something one week, and then he's inactive the next, and Brandon Bolden is getting a ton of work in the passing game, and next thing you know, J.J. Taylor somehow is getting goal line. J.J. Taylor is getting goal line work? I don't understand. That Jet game was totally weird, but regardless, back-to-back 100-yard games, He's probably going to get at least 15 carries, somewhere between 15 and 20 touches on this game. And the Chargers, we all know, in terms of rush defense, worst in the league. So I'm surprised he actually wasn't more expensive on FanDuel. He's just 6,900 this week, which on the half PPR, I think is a huge value considering he has touchdown equity and a lot of volume opportunity. Volume is king. We like to always keep the volume. So for me, this is a no-brainer. Harris is a great value play this week. He's just under that 7K threshold. Is there somebody for you this week that you think is a really tremendous value play?
Yeah, just on Harris, you know, the Taylor stuff was all in garbage time last
week. It was. But just the usage was so peculiar because this was like the next James White guy. But then again, you know, there were times where James White would get goal line work too, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Harris has delivered every week besides when he faced the Saints and Bucks, who were, you know, two of the best run defenses in the NFL. So he's been solid all year outside of those two tough matchups. I like Kenneth Gainwell as a cheap running back play this week. We know Miles Sanders is out now. Boston Scott is there. They're probably going to promote Jordan Howard from the practice squad. So don't expect Gainwell to get even 15 carries. But I think he's going to get 10 or so carries and continue to play a big role in the passing game, which he already had been doing. He saw 7 targets last week. You know, a lot of that came after Miles Sanders left. So I think you're going to get, you know, 10 carries and 5 to 8 targets out of this guy against the Lions. So I think that makes him a good value, especially on DraftKings with the full PPR.
Yeah, that was going to be my point, too. Even if he just has the same game he had last week, right, which was, what, 5 carries for 20 yards, but he also caught 4 of 8 targets for 40. Yep. I did have the touchdown, but still, he put up 15 points on DK. And we're talking about a guy at a 5K salary on DraftKings that he was actually my cheap running back, my GPPs, because same thing allows me to go up and spend up in some other spots. But like you're saying, especially on DraftKings, it's kind of easy to see him, even without a special game, going 3x value of that 5K, right?
For sure. And you know, Football Outsider says the Lions dead last in running back coverage. So again, I think Gainwell is going to have a big day in the passing game on Sunday.
All right, let's go to wide receivers next. Who's your value wide receiver? Good price, good floor, good return. Maybe not the sexiest name on the board, but a name that you think has a good opportunity this week.
I like Michael Pittman, and he wasn't quiet last week. He ended up having a nice game. He's seen lower volume the last 2 weeks, but that was, you know, last week was the sloppy game in San Francisco. The week before that was the blowout against Houston, and he just didn't throw it very much. Before those two games, Pittman had 7, 8, 12, and 12 targets in his previous 4 games. You know, he's the clear lead wide out here. We'll see if the Colts get T.Y. Hilton back. I'm not sure it matters too much for Pittman. I think he's going to lead the way in targets. And, you know, this Titans-Colts game should be high scoring. There should be a lot more passing volume from the Colts. The Titans secondary is not one to worry about. They're actually 31st in adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. So I think Pittman is a strong value this week.
Could not agree more, man. And I love the volume of Pittman. The target share that he's getting is fantastic. And the T.Y. Hilton, you know, injury always, you know, just goes back. You just can't count on him, right? So it's back to Michael Pittman, which is good, which has been very solid in PPR leagues, and especially solid, I think, this week to play as well in this matchup against Tennessee. For me, it's Marvin Jones coming off a bye. Chenault has some appeal to me as well, but Trevor Lawrence the last 2 games, and it might not be looking like that in the box score, but if you look at it on the field, he looks way more comfortable to me in the pocket, looks more comfortable with the speed of the game, looks more comfortable with the playbook. I still have incredible questions about Urban Meyer's game plan ability, but at the same time, someone's got to catch the football here. And Marvin Jones, I think, is the safest bet. It's a good return in the cost as well. And again, do I think they're going to be like in a phenomenal offensive spot? I don't know, but $6,400 on FanDuel is a very reasonable price for him. And then if you look across the board there, Marvin Jones is $5,900 over on DK. It's hard not to imagine him leaving this game with maybe 6 for 66 and a touchdown or something in that realm. That is a very good base, a very good return. And I think there's always upside for more. Marvin Jones has showed us in the past sometimes he has the ability to have some huge games in him. And I think the floor is a lot safer now that DJ Chark is just out of the picture. And I just, you know, Dan Arnold's going to work a little bit. Chenault's going to have some moments for sure. They're going to run the football. But I think Marvin Jones is a pretty good investment this week. All right, let's go to your value quarterbacks of the week. And wouldn't you know it, it's the same guy on the Jaguars.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, I'm in. I agree.
Let's go, baby. Let's do it. You and me.
Yeah. I think he's looked pretty good the past few games after struggling early. And now he's coming off a bye week, which especially for a rookie, I think is nice. You know, I think it can give him more chance to settle into the offense. a bit more. I also like Jacksonville's been using Lawrence's legs more over the past month now. Six carries, 26 rushing yards, and half a touchdown per game over his last four. We've seen some of that design stuff, you know, the read option stuff for Lawrence, because he is an athletic quarterback. So that only helps raise the floor. Matchup is good here, too, against Seattle. You know, nothing to worry about in that secondary.
All right, let's continue on here. My quarterback is Matt Ryan, which has a little bit of risk. But at the same time, I keep coming back to the confidence, the offense starting to look better. Cordarrelle Patterson's continued to be involved. You've got Pitts really emerging. Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage are both out there healthy at the same time, working the field. It's a lot here. And Carolina, I have respect for that defense. I love Chin. Hassan Reddick's been great. You know, I get all of that. But at the same time, I want Carolina's offense to show back up so maybe we can get a little bit more out of Matt Ryan. But I feel like Matt Ryan is a good 18 to 22 point investment this week. And in a week, I got to tell you, Jared, where the quarterbacks once again are very top heavy this week, there's not a lot of cheap quarterbacks I feel good about this week. That's been the toughest thing these last 2 weeks between Bi-Pocalypse and Week 7 and the way the schedule is flushed out where you have no Kyler Murray and no Aaron Rodgers and, you know, you're taking Dak off again and you're taking Minnesota off again. All of a sudden, like, the quarterbacks, just less choices there. We're missing some of these guys that we like a little bit, so our choices are limited. And Matt Ryan, I think, to me, is still a pretty solid choice. Do you have any confidence in Matt Ryan this week at that price?
I do. He's just playing really well. Ryan has finished top. He's finished top four in PFF's passing grades, Pro Football Focus's passing grades, in each of his last three games now. The Falcons came out of their bye last week and went super pass heavy in that game against Miami. So we'll see if that continues. I think they should, because their running game is doing nothing, you know, particularly Mike Davis. They're a better passing offense than a running offense. So that only helped Matt Ryan. He's at home. Carolina's D is okay, but it's not one I'm worried about. So I do like Ryan as a pay down option at quarterback.
All right, let's move on to the next one here, and let's talk about tight ends. Who's your good value tight end this week?
I'm going to play Ricky Seals-Jones for the third straight week. I mean, he is literally playing the Logan Thomas role. He's on the field for every snap, running around.
He's becoming the unofficial mascot here of our show. I just want you to know, like, every single week we go down to this well, and every single week I feel like we come up with water.
he's still sub 4K on DraftKings for the type of volume he's getting. Seals-Jones also, he leads all tight ends with five end zone targets, which is crazy considering, you know, he's basically only played three games. So they're using him near the goal line, which is nice. The volume is nice. He's still too cheap on DraftKings and FanDuel.
100% agree. He's running a ton of routes, as you pointed out, but also just, this is a guy who always had a lot of talent, but I think the work ethic was in question. And I heard some things, people were talking about that, and it seemed like, this is a possibility here where the player finally maybe got shaken and woken up a little bit. And I don't know. I got to tell you, with Logan Thomas eventually coming back healthy, maybe you're going to see some more two tight end sets. Maybe you're going to see some different things out of them. I also wonder next year where Ricky Seals-Jones might play. Do you think some other team would notice this, I would think, and want to add him to their roster, don't you think?
I definitely think so. I mean, he's got to be almost 30 now, right? He's been around. Yeah,
him and Cordarrelle Patterson, these 30-year-old breakout guys. You got to love this. Where the hell did this come from?
but I mean, Seals-Jones, I think teams were using him wrong. I mean, he's basically a wideout playing. He's basically poor man's Kyle Pitts. Like, he's not going to block, but use him in the passing game. I think Washington should use Logan Thomas and Seals-Jones together quite a bit going forward, with all the injuries they have at wide receiver.
All right. For me, it's Hunter Henry, not because of the revenge narrative, but because he's been consistent. But the revenge narrative is fun. If you want to go and throw that in there, Mac Jones looks for him around the red zone area. He's catching touchdowns. He's also getting some decent volume, not enormous volume, not, Darren Waller, Travis Kelce volume, but volume nonetheless. And Mac Jones is another rookie quarterback that's starting to look very comfortable. He's starting to throw the ball with more confidence. He's been seeing the field very well. He saw the field very well in preseason, but you could tell, even though there were losses against Tampa, that was a tough loss. The loss against Dallas was a tough loss. You can see there's no quit in this kid. And this is a unique opportunity where, last year New England went in there and whooped the Chargers. And all of us kind of looked at each other like, how did that happen? I don't know if that's going to be the case again. Probably not. But at the same time, I think they're going in here with a lot of confidence with Mac Jones. I think it's going to be a competitive game. And I think Hunter Henry is going to be the Hunter Henry we've seen the last few weeks. Even though Jonnu Smith did touch the football a little bit more last week, I'm still pretty confident there's enough in Hunter Henry because, they really don't have that playmaker wide receiver, you got to get the ball in his hands. You know, they'll every now and then you'll see Kendrick Bourne do something, Aguilar do something. Jacoby Myers is boring Jacoby Myers, but Hunter Henry has a little bit more appeal. Not only as tight end too, but even as a flex, I think this week, if you're trying to pay up, I have a lineup on DK where I actually have him with Pitts, because Pitts is more like a wide receiver as we were talking about. And then I got Hunter Henry as a flex, or you could, you know, vice versa, however you want to talk about them. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Ultimate Fan. Have you checked out the newest free way to play fantasy football game? Introducing Next Level Fantasy Football with Ultimate Fan, where fantasy football meets pack openings. Play the Next Level Fantasy Football game that's sweeping across the nation. Ultimate Fan is new, it's free to play, and it's fantasy football. All you do is you open virtual packs, collect player cards from across the NFL, and build your roster over the course of a season. You put your fantasy football knowledge to the test and pick your weekly lineup to compete against fantasy football fans nationwide for the chance to win fantastic sets of prizes. And with Ultimate Fan Plus subscription, that's UF Plus subscription, you can take your Ultimate Fan experience to the next level. Plus, there's over $30,000 worth of gift cards up for grabs this season. Play the game that's sweeping across the states. Find Ultimate Fan on the App Store or Google Play. Terms and conditions apply. Download Ultimate Fan for free in the App Store and Google Play Store now and visit fantasypros.com/ultimatefan. And now, back to the action. All right, let's move on to the GPP gambles here, and I'll kick things off here. Gainwell was one of mine. I talked about that, but I'll throw you another one. And it's Eli Mitchell. He's getting the workload. That's what I want to see. Is he getting the lion's share of the carries? The answer is yes. The Bears are the 23rd ranked run defense. Last week, 18 carries for 107 and a touchdown. Give me 16.5 points over on FanDuel. Yes, please. I don't care if he works in the passing game. It hurts him a little bit on DK. But you know what? Mm-hmm. At the same time, Jared, I mean, this Bears offense is absolutely pathetic. Fields looks defeated. Matt Nagy is done. I mean, I just think San Francisco should go in there, whoop them, and then run out the clock. That's how I feel about this one personally. So who is your GPP running back you like this week?
Zach Moss for me. And I do expect Kenneth Gainwell to be pretty popular. Zach Moss is in a similar price range. So to me, he's a good pivot, but probably has more upside, honestly, just playing on this Bills offense, the touchdown potential he has. You know, he is outside of Josh Allen. You know, Zach Moss is Buffalo's goal line back over Devin Singletary. Moss has been playing over Singletary in passing situations for the last month now. So Moss looks like Buffalo's lead back at this point. And the Bills running backs combined for 108 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns against Miami back in week 2. It was Singletary who got a lot of that in week mm-hmm. 2, but I think it's more likely to be Moss this time around.
All right, let's go to your wide receiver here. Who is your GPP wide receiver of the week?
Man, Calvin Ridley is so due. I don't know what's going on. He's averaging 10.4 targets per game. Like, the volume is there. He just hasn't been producing for whatever reason. I think that's going to change. Could change this week against Carolina, who has struggled against number one wide receivers. They've given up some big games to number ones. Corey Davis had 97 yards and 2 touchdowns against them back in week 1. Brandon Cooks went for 112 yards against them. Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen had big games against Carolina. So I think this could be the spot where, you know, the volume finally turns into production for Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, I hope so. And I think it's a great call, too, because we are all hyper-focusing a little bit on Patterson and Pitts and all that. But Ridley's starting to look like Ridley again. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure what all the off-the-field stuff is, what was going on there. But I can tell you this, he's still an all-world talent. Ridley produced last year when Julio Jones wasn't on the field. I'm not worried about Calvin Ridley. And I think people are forgetting. And I love that you're bringing that up. And Carolina, you know, I mean, I know they brought in Gilmore, but, you know, they have had some issues there in the secondary with some injuries like J.C. Horn. Jerry Jeudy is my dude because he's back. Let's go. Everybody forgets about Jerry Jeudy. And I've said this on the show before, and I think we've been right every single time. If you get an extreme talent back on the field, there's that thing where people want to go, oh, I want to wait and see. No, just go attack it while the price is cheap and hope that you get the good return. This is a tournament play. It's not a cash game play necessarily, but in tournaments, Jerry Jeudy was getting targeted so heavily in preseason. He was getting targeted so heavily before he got hurt in that first game. Jerry Judy's an extraordinary talent. If he hadn't gotten hurt, I think we'd all be talking about him as one of the breakout players of the year. I think he had top 20 wide receiver upside in him, and I think he still does. I'm going right back to this well against Washington, a team that doesn't cover anybody very well. So give me Jerry Jeudy. He is a good cost on both sites. Let's see. He is over, where is he? He is 6K over on the FanDuel side, just 4,900 on DK. I think, yeah, you got to give that a shot there. Are you going back into the Jerry Jeudy well at all this week?
Oh, definitely for tournaments. Like you said, I would not play him in cash because I do have some concern coming off a high ankle sprain. But man,
but he was healthy enough to play last week. They just didn't want him to play because they were concerned about, again, not having the practice time.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 7 weeks since a high ankle sprain. So he should be back to 100%. Man, I was so high on him all summer.
Me too, man.
six catches on 7 targets and basically one half of action in the opener. And now, as you mentioned, he gets Washington. Washington is dead last in adjusted fantasy points allowed to wide receivers. So he could not be returning to a better matchup.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving on here, and let's go next to our quarterbacks that we like. So who is the tournament quarterback that you got your eye on this week?
Justin Herbert for me. I've made a pledge to myself to play him in GPPs every week this season, besides last week when he was on bye, obviously. But he you know, this Chargers offense is so perfect for tournaments. There's so much upside. The Chargers are first in situation neutral pace, so they're a fast-paced offense. They're also third in situation neutral pass rate, so they're a fast-paced pass heavy offense. We've already seen that lead to two massive games for Herbert. He has games of 31 and 46 DraftKings points. I hope people are scared off him by last year's Patriots game, where he was horrible in that game.
He was. It was not good.
But he was a rookie. That Patriots defense was much better than it is this year. Herbert is much better than he was last year. I'm not worried about it at all. I think he could definitely have another massive game on Sunday.
All right. Yeah, I love that as an alternate. You know, and I want to give the kid so much credit, because he's played so well this year too. And I was a little skeptical. I was like, all right, let's see it again. Let's see what happens here with Herbert. It was just a 1 year wonder kind of thing, but he's played great. It's just a little part of me that's so concerned about that New England game plan against him and what they could possibly do. But that makes him the perfect tournament guy, because you know, the talent is there. It's just a matter of, can he outplay the matchup? And I think there's a good possibility. Mine is, and again, this is tough this week. Tournament QB is not, I'm paying up for Joe Burrow everywhere. I just don't care. But to me, it's Jameis Winston against Tampa for two reasons. Number one, it's against Tampa. Number two, the Tampa cornerbacks. I think those two things combined make for a very unique possibility of points. It has definitely got volatility in it. It's definitely not 100% safe. Like, I feel great about it. But at the same time, I think Winston has some opportunity there to put up a good return. He is a bit cheaper than some of the other quarterbacks on the board this week, and I think a little bit more motivation than maybe some of the other quarterbacks on the field this week. So this is a big one. I'm going to circle this one. Once again, talking about prices, just to get an idea, he's 6K over on DK, and on FanDuel, he's still 7,400, which is a little bit more expensive than I'd like him to be. But at the same time, I think they're telling you that they think there's a little bit more ceiling in here maybe than we realize. All right, so tight end for me, I'm just going to run this out because we already talked about him. It's Ricky Seals-Jones. I don't understand how he's so cheap still. Like, that's the thing. Like, when does it catch up, right? Ricky Seals-Jones is 3,800 on DK still. Nobody wants to put any respect on his name. 54 on FanDuel. Jared already told you about him, so I'm going to give the floor to you for tight end, Jared. Who's your tournament tight ends that you like this week?
Yeah, Tyler Higbee is my first one. I just think he's due for some touchdowns. He is actually second among tight ends in both the red zone and end zone targets. So he's getting looks down there in this, you know, high scoring Rams offense. And, you know, really no better time for him to sort of, you know, get off the schneid as far as touchdowns go than in this game against Houston, who is the Texans are 31st in adjusted fantasy points allowed to tight end. So great matchup for Higbee. On the cheap side too, I want to throw out Dan Arnold, who, you know, on that Jags passing game coming off a bye week, he kind of immediately stepped into a pretty big role after getting traded. The last two games for Jacksonville, 8 and 5 targets for Dan Arnold. Now we got the bye week to sort of settle into the offense a bit more. So I think he's going to play a pretty big role here coming off the bye. He's sub 3K on DraftKings. So he's a really nice salary saver at tight end.
I could not agree more. Love that call. 100% in on that. Let's switch gears over here to the defenses. I think San Francisco's in play this week. Buffalo and the Rams are worth paying up for. Cincinnati, I've been talking about the Cincinnati defense for the last couple weeks. I loved them last week as an oppo play, and it worked out. I loved them the week before in the matchup they had. They're playing better as a unit. They get the Jets this week, and Mike White, I'm still in. Who are the defenses that you've got your eye on this week, Jared?
It definitely seems like a week to try to pay up for a defense, at least in tournaments, because as you mentioned, those three defenses all in – excellent spots. I'll throw out Philly as a cheaper play. I think they're 2,700 on DraftKings, but they get the Lions matchup, so they should at least give you a nice floor. I like Cleveland as well. I think playing defenses against Ben Roethlisberger this season is just going to continue to be a good play because Big Ben is totally washed. And then Atlanta playing defenses against Sam Darnold, who has reverted to Jets Sam Darnold. I think there's upside as a tournament play for the Falcons. They're not a great defense, but it's just a matchup play. You hope Darnold makes a few mistakes.
Yeah, that fell apart quickly, didn't it? I mean, it looked so good the first few weeks. Yeah. And, I'm sure it would help to get CMC healthy back, too. But at the same time, what a bummer. I mean, it was like, yeah, what a good feel-good story. Yay, Sam Darnold's playing well. And then we realized it was more just schedule than anything, it looks like, which is unfortunate. All right, let's get to our stacks of the week. I think you know where I'm going. I'm going Cincinnati there, and I'm going with Joe Burrow. I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. If you want to get a little weird with somebody else, look, if you even want to put Mixon in there, I can imagine a universe where Mixon has multiple touchdowns before he even comes out of this game, and that's fine. You could do the whole trio. You could put Higgins in there along as well and just go completely Joe Burrow slinging the football around. But I like Cincinnati this week. I'm sure you can make a really good case for the Rams as well with Jared's boy Henderson along with Cooper Kupp and Stafford. If you want to just put them together in cash and just walk away, you can do it. There's enough value on the board. How about you? Who's your stack of the week this week, and how do you want to approach it?
I love the Bills coming off the bye at home for Miami. Josh Allen has crushed Miami throughout his career. This Dolphins defense is not any better this year than it's been in previous years. It might be worse. I mean, they're 23rd in adjusted fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. The other reason I like this game, it's a fast-paced game. It's actually the week's fastest-paced game if you look at how the teams combine in situation-neutral pace. They're both in the top 10, so that should mean a lot of plays. We know the Bills are super pass heavy. You're probably going to get 40 plus pass attempts out of Josh Allen. So, and a final reason I like stacking this game, Dawson Knox's injury opens up pretty big opportunity share. I think you're just going to see that condense on Stephon Diggs, Sanders, Cole Beasley. I think it's pretty easy. You play Allen with, any two of those wide receivers, I think you're going to soak up a lot of Allen's production.
What's your ideal trio? Allen and who? Diggs and who?
Definitely Diggs. I mean,
right. But Allen, Diggs, and who's the third piece? If you wanted to get in, would it be Moss or would it be Emmanuel Sanders? Would it be Beasley? Yeah. Like, who's your ideal trio?
It would be Sanders for me. He just has the higher ceiling as more of the downfield guy. They've been using him near the goal line quite a bit. Beasley, maybe a safer floor play. He still has upside because he can go out and catch 10 balls in any game. But if I'm just making one Allen stack, it would be with Diggs and Sanders.
I'm going to go with Diggs, Allen, and the defense. That's my favorite Buffalo trio. Hey, man, 22 points last time they played Miami, and this time it's in Buffalo. I mean, off the bye. Yikes. He just owns the Dolphins like you talked about, man. He just absolutely owns them. All right, let's get into the lock of the week. We've been on a good roll with this. I think last week I was a little meh. Stafford was my lock of the week. He was respectable, but it wasn't as good. And it's funny because I wanted to go Cooper Kupp, and I said, nah, I can't go Cooper Kupp because I've done it before. I always want to be different, but I'm going to get back on the horse here. Ja'Marr Chase, lock of the week. Put him in the lineup. Don't overthink it and just move on. It's going to be fantastic. I'm in 100% for Ja'Marr Chase. Get start every lineup that way. Kyle Pitts was a close second, but Ja'Marr Chase is get the number one spot for me this week. Who is your lock of the week, Jared, in DFS week 8?
It's Darrell Henderson for me. Volume, matchup, strong offense, kind of everything you want out of a DFS running back.
Everything you could possibly want and more. Let's fly around the games. Lightning round time. We're going to ask Jared a question about each and every one of these games, get his take on it. And let's start here with Carolina and Atlanta, because we talked a lot about Atlanta. We haven't really talked about Carolina at all. Is there any scenario here where all of a sudden DJ Moore becomes a fascinating oppo play where everybody's off of it? It's very contrarian. Everybody's just terrified. Darnold gets benched. Carolina, the sky is falling. And DJ Moore, who's 7,700, still pretty expensive, 7,200 over on DK, still could return and have a very good game here.
Oh, he definitely could. His volume has still been there with, despite Darnold's struggles. Atlanta's 25th in adjusted fantasy points allowed wide receiver. The super oppo play is Robbie Anderson, who continues to get
I'd love to hold hands with you and take that play, but I can't do it, dude. He's killing me. I tried a couple weeks ago against the Giants where he had 11 targets and we were right, but he didn't catch any of them.
I actually haven't played him the past 2 weeks, so I'm kind of like ready to go back in Again, I think this matchup against Atlanta is good. I'm going to take a shot on Anderson in a couple tournaments, I think.
All right, let's move on to the next one here. Cincinnati at the Jets. We talked quite a bit about the Cincinnati side. Maybe we'll just for a moment talk about the Jets. What are your thoughts on Michael Carter this week? 4,900 over on DK. Very inexpensive running back. Seems to be the guy, so to speak, right now. Tevin Coleman's faded away, which was inevitable. And you imagine they're going to try to run the football, at least in the beginning of this game. Any possible value here with Carter trying to support Mike White in this offense here, even if the game script does get away from them a little?
Yeah, I don't think I'll get to Carter. There's too many running backs I like more than him, but he is trending up. You know, he had the 11 carries and 9 targets last week. 44% of Mike White's passes last week went to running backs. You know, he was just checking it down, trying to get the ball out of his hands. So Carter's okay. There's just very little upside here. Like, he's such a poor touchdown bet because the Jets offense just isn't going to do anything.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Jacksonville at Seattle. We did discuss Jacksonville. We talked about those wide receivers. We talked about Robinson. We talked about Lawrence. I have a hard time investing comfortably in anything with Seattle right now. Is that a mistake, though? Am I not opening my mind enough because of this matchup against Jacksonville? Not a good defensive team. Seattle is at home. Do you think we should be looking for any pieces, or is it just too much volatility with Geno Smith under center?
It's too much volatility for me to invest in. I do think, you know, if you're someone who plays a whole ton of tournament lineups, like DK Metcalf makes some sense. We saw it, you know, last week. It only takes one play for him to pay off, and the matchup is good here. But I'll probably just be avoiding the Seahawks offense. I think I'll have a, you know, more enjoyable Sunday that way.
Well, I want that for you too. All right, let's go on to the next one here. The Rams in Houston. We're going to get Tyrod Taylor back. Now, here's a cheap quarterback, right? He's 4,900 on DK. Basically allows you to get everything else you want. You imagine they're playing from behind. You imagine Tyrod Taylor is good for some rushing yards. Is there a universe where you could map out a tournament lineup with Tyrod Taylor, or is the Rams just too much for you?
I think it makes some sense as a salary receiver.
Rushing ability. As I'm saying it, I'm almost talking myself into go, maybe after the show, I do one or two of these.
he played well in week one, and he played well before he got hurt in week two. And it's an easy stack. I mean, you know, you're stacking him with Brandon Cooks, who's going to get, you know, like 35% of the targets from Tyrod. So, yeah, I might mess around with a Tyrod Taylor lineup.
All right. last time Miami lost their quarterback against Buffalo. This time we got Tua back into this game. I'm sure all the trade rumors and all this stuff is not sitting well with him. But, you know, one thing we have seen is with Tua back on the field, we've seen Jaylen Waddle and Mike Gesicki get a ton of volume. They're 6,400 and 6,300 on FanDuel, respectively. Over on DK, Gesicki's 5K, Jaylen Waddle's 5,600. Do you have any oppo love here for those guys playing from behind? Can they get you some points and probably a low roster percentage at the same time?
So I think that the thing to watch here is if Devontae Parker is back this week. I think, you know, he'd siphon targets from both Gesicki and Waddle if he returns. So that's, I'm going to be watching that. I do like playing one of those guys as a run back on your Josh Allen teams, you know, whether it's Waddle or Gesicki.
Yeah, I think I would lean towards Waddle. I think Waddle's that guy that Tua feels most confident in, I feel like.
Yes.
All right, New England at the Chargers. So, again, tough to invest in New England outside of Damian Harris from a DFS standpoint. But let's talk about the Chargers here. You know, they always say you want to take away that one weapon. Is that one weapon Keenan Allen? Is it Mike Williams? Is it Eckler? Which one weapon do you think it is that we should fade away from against the Chargers?
It's probably Mike Williams, right? Based on how the season's gone so far, like he's kind of been the engine of that offense. I've been playing Keenan Allen every week. Now, he's kind of like a Calvin Ridley type where the volume has been there. The production hasn't come. I'll probably give him another shot this week. The Pats have been bad against pass catching running backs this season. So I think Eckler is an interesting play too.
Well, they've been a little bit more aggressive rushing the quarterback. I think that's why once they got Judon and Uche and those guys, they've been a little bit more, which has benefited them. Don't get me wrong. But that becomes the Achilles heel, right? If you have a quarterback and a good running back who can catch the football and they react quickly, that's how you get past that. All right, Philly and Detroit. Detroit's a tough team to invest in. I got to ask you this question. You talked about Gainwell. We talked about a little bit of Dallas Goedert as well. Is there anything on Detroit at all that interests you? Because the Philly defense is not exactly gangbusters either. Is it a Hockenson? Is it a DeAndre Swift? Is it one of those guys where we write the script for Detroit's first win?
I wouldn't go that far, but I've been playing Swift in cash on DK like every week this season. His price is finally up to like,
yeah, 7,100. You're right.
He's been in like the low sixes on DK, which has just been a stupid good value for the pass catching role he's playing. So I'm probably going to be off Swift in cash this week. I do still think he's a good tournament play because, as we saw last week and really throughout the season, he's just playing such a massive role in their passing game.
All right, we've avoided this game altogether, which may or may not be a good thing. I don't know. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. We did not discuss this at all. You got Nick Chubb returning. We just, neither of us seem to want to invest there. We didn't talk about Najee Harris. We didn't talk about Diontae Johnson. Those are three big entities. Should we have any shares of them this week in our DFS lineups at all?
Yeah, I think Harris and Diontae are always solid plays because of the volume they're getting. You know, Harris, especially in the passing game. Nick Chubb, I am interested in as a tournament play. I want to see what he does in practice the next couple of days here. He was limited on Wednesday. But, you know, Dearness Johnson obviously was awesome in that Thursday night game last week. But I still think there's a chance that Chubb plays an even bigger role than he was playing with a healthy Kareem Hunt. Like, I think, worst case, Chubb isn't going to lose those goal line looks to Hunt that he had been. I don't know if he's going to play a bigger role in the passing game, but even if he just gets all the red zone, all the goal line work, you know, that obviously gives him a higher ceiling. So I'm definitely interested in Nick Chubb this week.
Yeah, Chubb and Harris, fascinating, because Chubb is actually more expensive than you would think. I think this first game back, he's all the way back up at 8K, where he should be, like, respectable-wise. Yeah, I mean, he's an 8K running back. Mm-hmm. But I'm with you. I think that's a tournament play, and it's interesting because he is such a high ceiling guy, potentially, and a high floor guy on top of that. And then you add in the Kareem Hunt not taking some of those touches away from him. Yeah, this is another one I think we got to revisit. San Fran, Chicago. I don't want anybody to tell me anything about Chicago. I don't want to hear about it. Debo Samuel, I know, has been questionable dealing with a calf injury. Do you feel comfortable rolling him out there? Because Debo's another one of these guys that has looked like an absolute fantasy stud pretty much every week.
He has, dominating targets there. Jimmy Garoppolo is starting again this week, which is good news for Debo Samuel. Like, Garoppolo at this point is still a better passer than Trey Lance, but the calf thing is worrisome, especially for someone with Debo Samuel's injury history. Another case, I want to see what he does in practice these next couple days.
All right, let's move on to the next game here. Tampa and New Orleans, obviously always very contested. We talked a little bit about Winston. We talked about Godwin. What about Leonard Fournette in this one, too? He's been very steady, but you mentioned before, New Orleans pretty good defensively. And you also got Alvin Kamara on the other side, one, too. Tampa Bay, very good against the run, although they are going to get Alvin Kamara out there catching the football probably a lot more. Any love for either of the two running backs in this game, where all we kind of focus on are the QBs and some of the wide receivers?
I think I'm going to be off Fournette this week. He's a guy I've been playing a bunch. He's a guy I drafted a bunch this summer. I just think this is a tough matchup for Tampa's offense in general. I think you might see a relatively down week from the Bucs offense here. Kamara I like because of the pass catching. I mean, the Saints came out of the bye and we're like, oh yeah, we should be getting Kamara, you know, 10 targets per game. So that was nice to see. The other guy to keep an eye on here is Rob Gronkowski, who looks like he might be back this week. And man, he was awesome those first few weeks of the season. And with Antonio Brown out, you know, that opens up more opportunity for Gronk.
Yeah, especially the goal line. That's where you want those tight ends to be good. All right, I got a few questions here in this Tennessee-Indianapolis game. Question one, Derrick Henry, 10-5, 8,900 on DK. Would you pay up for Derrick Henry this week?
I never get Derrick Henry right. I finally played him in cash last week and he disappointed.
He had more passing touchdowns.
Exactly, yeah. Don't ask me whether to play Derrick Henry.
Fair enough. Okay, well, we won't even ask. Is it time to get back in the Ryan Tannehill business in tournaments, though?
Yes, it definitely could be. You know, he's it's funny. I talked last week on the Draft Sharks podcast about how Tennessee was due to have some more passing touchdowns and fewer rushing touchdowns. Of course, their first passing touchdown last week comes from Derrick Henry. I do think Tannehill is a, you know, positive regression candidate. This game could turn into a shootout. Maybe his volume is up. I think Tannehill.
Well, if that's the case, are you getting AJ Brown in that pairing with him?
Yes, I was going to say Tannehill to AJ Brown is the stack because Julio Jones just isn't healthy.
All right, last one here: Washington and Denver. We did discuss a little bit here on the Denver side. We talked about Jerry Jeudy. On the Washington side, kind of tough. You know, RSJ is good, and I know, you know, we all love McLaurin, but he hasn't been healthy. Is there anything else in this Washington-Denver game that has your attention from a daily fantasy side, or is this more of a messy four-outcome game that maybe you stay away from?
Yeah, mostly staying away from this one, you know, outside of the Broncos wide receivers, I guess. I think you still can't play Antonio Gibson right now with the shin issue. He's not getting much work in the passing game. So the Washington side isn't a void for me outside of Ricky Seals-Jones.
All right, you can check out all of Jared's work over at Draft Sharks and follow him on the Twitter machine at SmolaDS. Jared, tell everyone what else is going on with you over at Draft Sharks and all the content that people can find you doing.
Yeah, we do our weekly DFS podcasts on Friday night. They're live streamed around 8 p.m. Eastern. You can also find them afterwards on all the podcasts, all the spots you get your podcasts. And we have weekly DraftKings and FanDuel articles tackling cash games and tournaments. And we have our lineup generator, which, you know, is fueled by our projections, which have won multiple accuracy awards. And you can, you know, build all your lineups there and import them right to DraftKings and FanDuel.
Terrific stuff, man. Thank you so much for your time. As always, great stuff here and can't wait to have you on the show again. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code fantasypros no matter where you are in the game of life. Air Medcare Network memberships are the protection that you need. Also, don't forget about Ultimate Fan, the new free-to-play fantasy football game. Open virtual packs, collect player cards, and build your NFL rosters to win. Download Ultimate Fan for free in the App Store or Google Play now and visit fantasypros.com/ultimate fan. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the Betting Pros Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You got Dan Harris doing two NFL shows. I'm doing the college football show. Some amazing content there. And also bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Your daily wagering with Matt Perrault, the show that will take you through every single sport. I want to thank Jared Smola again for his time today. Great show as always. That'll do it for us, but the game goes on. For Jared Smola, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.